Hello, this is Cindy Gomez Shemp.
And this is Duke Gomez Shemp.
You are listening to KPPP LP FM, broadcasting online through 365 Live and soon to be on your radio dial at FM 88.1, adding local color to your airwaves. And today we're going to be talking about immigration and the history of racism behind immigration policy. I wanted to start you off with a poem from a movie called Hecho en México. I highly recommend that you guys see it. Do you love this movie, Duke?
Oh, I love this movie. I've seen it maybe 50 times.
It's one of those movies you'll watch over and over again. It's like a long music video, beautifully done. It has some of the best actors and poets and, you know, minds of Mexico, artists of Mexico. Hecho en México can be found on Netflix streaming, and our opening song is called Fronteras, The Border.
El laberinto de mi soledad. Bueno, para mí mi laberinto de soledad es estar solo allá, el otro lado, que siempre 9 años trabajando allá.
De aquí ya se han ido tantos, solo se quedan los viejos y los pálidos reflejos de otras voces y otros cantos. Nadie trabaja los campos, todos se fueron pa'l norte, sin visa ni pasaporte, se fueron con rumbo incierto. Solo está mi pueblo muerto, aquí ya no hay quien soporte. Sola ha quedado la vía donde corría el mexicano. Ya nadie espera al hermano en esa estación vacía. Se extraña la gritería que en ese lugar se armaba. Un mercado se formaba a la llegada del tren. Era una fiesta el andén y hoy de aquello ya no hay nada.
That was Fronteras from Hecho en México. It's kind of like a spoken song poem. And it was talking about what it's like to cross the border and the devastation, the pain that goes along with it for families on both sides. And that is the humanizing factor of this discussion. We're talking about people that are traveling. They're migrants. They're migrating. People that are without a chance in the world to survive. I mean, people are crossing the border for reasons. And a lot of those reasons have to do with what the United States has done in Mexico. I want to talk about some of that history today. But first, I want to mention Mr. Donald Trump just for a minute, because I have to talk about him. I think I could do a whole show on Donald Trump, although I don't think he deserves that much of my time.
No, he doesn't. No, he does not.
But, I mean, he's talking some big talk. It's a lot of rhetoric. It's a lot. I mean, he's the double talker of the world. He could probably talk out of both sides of his mouth at once. That's how treacherous this man is in my mind. Because at the same time that he calls Mexican people, because he didn't specifically talk about undocumented Mexicans. He said, when Mexico sends us its people, my parents came from Mexico. Who are you talking about? Nobody in my family's rapists. What are you talking about, Donald? He's talking some really nasty things, which I believe is him projecting. Because this man who talks all of this nonsense about Mexican people is a guy who has exploited Polish workers who've already sued him. I believe they won a case against him, or he settled a case with them for exploiting them, for essentially robbing them of their wages. And Donald Trump has applied for U visas and other special visas to bring in workers to come and do things like being waitresses and bartenders and kitchen staff. Seriously, there was no people in the United States that could do that. No, that's not the case. What actually is going on is that Mr. Trump is a slave trader. He trades in human commodity, and he doesn't give a good golly what happens to those people. He couldn't care less if there are women in those positions that are being raped. Go check out Frontline. There was two recent documentaries about that. Remember those, Duke?
Yes, I do. You know, the thing about Trump is that he's been in the news a lot, and there's going to be a debate this week, and I don't know if they've announced who's going to actually be in the debate. So he's going to be mainstreaming his stuff again all week long.
Yeah, but what he's doing to the image of immigrants is trying to denigrate the very people he exploits for profit. And that's what's really disturbing to me about this man. That's why I believe it's imperative for people to know the history of immigration in this country and to understand it. And then I would like to talk about what it means to have a conversation about immigration in this country, because frankly, it's a really ugly discussion. Everyone talks about the border wall, which is basically a poorly constructed piece of Swiss cheese that helps white people feel a little bit less afraid. But it's not a real deterrent to people coming here who are desperate and trying to save their lives. They're going to come. You can't stop them. And there are already millions here. And if you're afraid of the 12 million undocumented Mexicans that are already here, it should terrify you even more that there's 50 million plus American citizen Mexicans like moi. This program I am dedicating for the first time. I'm talking about this on KPPP LPFM on our first live broadcast. Hallelujah.
Yep. And you know, if you're listening and you missed it, you're hearing the taped broadcast. But right now we put out a link that you can go to kpppfm.com and click on the live and listen now link, and you can hear us live.
And on our maiden voyage, I'm going to dedicate our first live broadcast to Mexican immigrants. Para mi raza. Right? For my people. Because Mexican lives matter. Latino lives matter. This is a problem that we have ignored for far too long. The people that are most hated in this country and throughout this continent are indigenous people. You know why I know that? Because Europeans try to wipe us out. They killed us as fast as they could so they could take our land, and they didn't want anyone left behind that could claim any right to the land they stole from our people. That's a real thing. You got to know that.
Definitely need to know that.
Folks need to know it. But I want to hear what our listeners think. If you want to give us your comments, you can leave us a message at 701-566-0917, or you can tweet us at @media_PPP. You can also send us an email at cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com.
And you can also listen to our tape programming on kpppfm.com. There's a link that says podcast, and you can click on it, and there's comment buttons below every story, every podcast we put out, there's opportunity to give comment.
That's right. And if we get comments from you, we'll discuss them on our next podcast. And we may even use your taped message on air. So to dive in to today's topic, I want to just back up for a second and let folks know that our last podcast was on prosecuting police and why it's nearly impossible to do that in America. And we also talked about Bill Lewinsky, the junk science guy from the University of Minnesota at Mankato who shills for the cops on stand and gets paid $450 an hour to come up with some cockamamie pseudoscience BS about why cops are justified in killing people. How it's possible. So in those rare cases where cops actually do get prosecuted for doing something really asinine, I'm going to quote the prosecutor in Cincinnati about the officer that shot and killed Sam Dubose. He was asinine, said the prosecutor. And even when they have a video that proves that this was a murder, very, very clearly, it's so hard to prosecute police because of guys like Bill Lewinsky that will go on the stand and say, oh, there's totally a scientific explanation for that, even though it's not based on any science. You got to go listen to that. Tell them where they can find this again, Duke.
You can go to kpppfm.com and you can click on the podcast link and listen to our tape programming from the previous days.
Fantastic. Now, I want to tell folks that we have just started KPPP LPFM. In a couple of months, we hope to be on air on 88.1 on your FM dial. And we're looking for people in our community who want to produce and broadcast their own shows. So we want the most underrepresented people in media to have a platform to share their voice, their news, their community stuff. And primarily, we're going to be focusing on people of color and women and the LGBTQA community, the homeless, the poor, and also to those who are traditionally disenfranchised from radio and other media platforms, such as faith groups, nonprofits, blue-collar workers, elders, and kids. And now I'm going to get back to our topic of immigration as a history of racism. And to begin, I want to let folks know where they can find the source that we're going to be discussing today, which is found at mexi-can.org. That's mexi-can.org. And I'm going to be talking to folks today about an article that I wrote on immigration and the history of immigration, which is titled Why No Mexican Should Enter the Service. And it's based specifically on the history of Border Patrol in America. So let me just start off by telling you that the history of Border Patrol in America is very racist. So I want folks to really pay attention to why we actually have Border Patrol and immigration policy in this country in the first place. It might seem counterintuitive to tell all Mexicans not to serve in the Border Patrol. But frankly, given the growing numbers of Mexicans entering policing jobs, including Border Patrol, it appears it has to be said. So I'm going to have to say it. Mexicans, raza, do not join the U.S. Border Patrol service. Doing so goes against your own self-interest and that of your fellow Mexicans. The U.S. Border Patrol Service is an institution that is rooted in white supremacy. Now, some people may say, hey, that's unpatriotic. And some might even say it's reverse racism. But it doesn't matter how upsetting it is for people to hear it. It is still the truth. Mexicans should never participate in or support white supremacy, whatever form it takes. And believe me, the U.S. Border Patrol is a function of white supremacy in the United States. It has been used to further white supremacy and to reinforce stereotypes that demonize and target Mexicans, even those who are American citizens or legal permanent residents, subjecting us all to discrimination, hate crimes, and death in ever-growing numbers. Perhaps these statements are mind-boggling, but for many out there, you know exactly what I'm talking about. The level of hate Mexicans are being subjected to these days is out of control, and we cannot afford to allow our own people to be duped into doing the dirty work of our oppressors. First, however, let me say that I do not think Mexicans should be hating on other Mexicans who are currently in the U.S. Border Patrol. Don't go out there and make enemies of other Mexicans that are serving. I can totally understand why Mexicans, especially those born and raised in the United States of America, would be drawn to these positions. They pay well. They offer civil servant pensions, which hardly any jobs have nowadays. And the most important factor attracting Mexicans to the U.S. Border Patrol is that it is one of the few places where Mexicans are actively being recruited. Law enforcement and military jobs are at a premium, and they don't mind a little brown in their ranks. But Mexicans should be asking themselves why. The answer to that question is this: because white people need Mexicans to do all the jobs regular Americans don't want to do, or can't do, I would add. And we all know this is true. It's why all the agricultural workers and construction jobs and hotel rooms and kitchens are filled with Mexicans. But you don't see all of the areas of law enforcement filled with Mexicans, do you? Well, in Border Patrol, there is high recruitment of Mexican Americans, especially bilingual Border Patrol agents. More and more these days, the people being rounded up and packed into the back of white vans look and sound just like those who are yelling alto and putting on the plastic restraint handcuffs. As Mexicans, this should alarm us. It should make us question why the gringo wants us to do this job for him and why they don't want to do it themselves. And to understand why this is not a job for Mexicans, we first need to take a look at the racist history of Immigration and Naturalization Services, INS, or ICE as they call it now. The original intent of U.S. immigration policy was not to distinguish between workers and citizens so that all people who came here to work were automatically granted the right to permanent residency upon entry and or the right to be a naturalized citizen. So do you realize what that means? The original intent of U.S. immigration policy was never to distinguish between workers. Everyone who came here was automatically granted permanent residency and the right to become citizens. That is not the case today, and it has never been the case since immigration policy was enacted, because it didn't exist before. Everyone just got automatic citizenship rights and residency rights upon entry into the country, except that it started becoming a problem when the United States didn't want to give citizenship and permanent residency automatically to certain people. But I'm going to get to that. There was no lengthy, expensive process with quotas and restrictions. In the beginning, there were basically no restrictions. So what changed? Well, U.S. territory was expanded through appropriation of lands, essentially theft, or what history books like to call manifest destiny. New Spain, which is what we now call Mexico, and the territories held by the Spanish conquistadors all came into play. And it goes without saying that Mexican citizens remember what happened during the settlement of Texas, which was then part of Mexico, and also the turmoil that occurred in the U.S. at that time over slavery, which culminated with Texas being taken in quotes, in battle from Mexico. I mean, they stole it. They stole this land. And then they brought in American unions. They brought in the state into the American Union as a slave state. The booty from this unprovoked American Mexican-American war also included California, Texas, Nuevo México, Arizona, Nevada, Utah, Wyoming, and parts of Wyoming and Colorado. And I'm sure you probably noticed almost all of those are Mexican names. Spain also ceded Florida to the United States. And all of those states had mostly indigenous people of the northern nations and a small percentage of Mexican citizens, Spanish or European settlers who were living on them. And that's the moment in history where white supremacy and border enforcement met and married. You have to remember that this nation was founded on the principle of white supremacy, or manifest destiny, or whatever you want to call it. Essentially, this premise operated on the theft of Indian lands and the genocide of indigenous people in order to dispossess them of their lands and their resources, and or turn them into slaves or exterminate them. The Constitution and the newly formed nation state, what we think of as the United States of America, never intended to protect the rights of these conquered individuals, and it did not consider them human. The list of non-humans included African slaves, Indians, and Mexicans. None of these humans were ever considered when the Constitution was written, nor was this country ever intended to include representatives and advocates for people of color. In 1848, during his speech to Congress, Senator John C. Calhoun stated that he had an opposition to the Mexican-American War. And this opposition was mainly due to the implications of dealing with a bunch of Indians on territories ceded to the United States after the war had been won, and why they were not equal to whites. And this is what he said. John C. Calhoun, Senator John C. Calhoun, on the floor of the Congress, okay? "We have conquered many of the neighboring tribes of Indians, but we have never thought of holding them in subjugation, never of incorporating them into our union. They have either been left as an independent people amongst us or been driven into the forests. I know further, sir, that we have never dreamt of incorporating into our union any but the Caucasian race, the free white race. To incorporate Mexico would be the very first instance of the kind of incorporating an Indian race. For more than half of the Mexicans are Indians, and the other is chiefly composed of mixed tribes. I protest against such a union as that. Ours, sir, is the government of a white race. The greatest misfortunes of Spanish America are to be traced to the fatal error of placing these colored races on an equality with the white race. That error destroyed the social arrangement which formed the basis of society." Did you hear that? This country was created for only the white Caucasian race. It never intended to incorporate either Africans or Indians. And to do so, I know this sounds like the guy that leads the KKK, right? But this is how this country started. And folks need to understand that's where your history is at. This is where your politics on policy on immigration came from. So you got to know your history. Given this premise, it's easy to understand why Mexicans in those ceded territories, be they Indians, mestizos, mixed blood Indians, or Spaniards, never stood a chance. After the war, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo was supposed to guarantee all the people already living in California and Texas and Nuevo Mexico and Arizona and Nevada and Utah and part of Wyoming and Colorado the right to be citizens and to keep their land. But ruthless homesteaders, bandits, and vigilantes knew that there would be no protection for the Mexicans. A feeding frenzy ensued, and land and people were displaced. During the gold rush, which happened only weeks after the ratification of the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo, many Californios had to flee with whatever they could carry as prospectors threatened, killed, and stole property and land from them with impunity. In 1850, for instance, white supremacists set fire to the Mexican town of Sonora, looting, lynching, and shooting survivors. The authorities, whether police, military, or special forces like the Texas Rangers, were not expected to bring whites to justice for theft, brutality, or murder of Mexicans, but instead were there to enforce white supremacy. And you can read more about that history because I'm going to put a link. Duke, tell them where they can find this information on our website.
You can go to kpppfm.com and click on the podcast link, and you'll hear this recording because we're taping it right now, and I'm going to put links below the description so you'll be able to see the sources of the article and actually read this article.
Exactly. And I do have lots of links in there. There's a lot more information if you want to really know about the history of this country. And I challenge folks to do that. If you're going to have a position on immigration reform, you should at least know where this policy was created and why. It is a little known fact in America that Mexicans were lynched in the Southwest, in particularly these newly acquired territories following the Mexican-American War, and that they were lynched on par with the lynchings of African-Americans in proportion to their numbers in the population. But beatings, whippings, brandings, and burnings were even more common. Both of these crimes went virtually unreported, the brutality and the lynchings, and unpunished and undocumented for the most part. You can find out more about the history of Latino lynchings at a link I've put there. It's I think it's a Harvard Law Review article called The Law of the Noose, A History of Latino Lynchings. You can also read more at the Legacy of Lynchings blog spot where I took some of my photos and information from. Now, I want to talk about the Pinches Trinches, the Texas Rangers. Those people that are currently, by the way, in Texas where they murdered Sandra Bland. Hey, everyone, if you were worried about the police covering things up, don't worry. The Texas Rangers are going to be investigating the police department and the jail people. And let me tell you a little bit about those folks. Because in the Texas Rangers, everybody knows who those are. Mexicans know who those are, right? They're infamous in Mexican history for their brutal treatment of Mexicans, both undocumented Mexicans as well as Mexican-American citizens. Hear that, folks. White folks in this country have never cared whether or not we were born here in this country. You know why? Because we're First Nation people. We are from this continent. You know how stupid and ridiculous white people sound when they tell us to go back to where we came from, when our ancestors have been here for tens of thousands of years, when our bones and our blood built this country, this continent, and they run all up the Mississippi River Valley, and we have been trading in these lands and hunting in these lands and growing food in these lands for thousands and thousands and thousands of years? It's silly. It's stupid. We're here. We're not going anywhere. You guys got to figure out what your own history is. Take them blinders off and learn where your immigration policy came from. And it's evil. In Texas, documentary movies like Border Bandits highlight the terror that was waged on Mexican Tejanos by the Texas Rangers. In a New York Times article on the history of the Texas Rangers, journalist Ralph Blumenthal wrote, "A recent book by an assistant history professor at Southern Methodist and other accounts exploiting archives on both sides of the border, including a damning but little-known Texas legislative investigation from 1919 that linked the Rangers to the quote-unquote evaporations." That means kidnapping and murder, for those of you who don't know what that means, of up to 5,000 Mexican insurgents, they were called. I'll translate that. That means the Mexican people that were opposed to the theft of their land. That's what an insurgent is. They were called Tejanos. They called themselves Tejanos, Texans of Mexican origin living in these newly ceded territories of the United States, whose lands in the Rio Grande Valley were converted by Anglo settlers. "People are still coming across skeletons," said the professor, Benjamin Heber Johnson, age 32, whose book Revolution in Texas, How a Forgotten Rebellion and Its Bloody Suppression Turned Mexicans into Americans, published late 2013 by Yale University Press, offers one of the fullest accounts to date of the violence. In an article to Cristobal Cavazos titled "Violence Against Mexicans, A Neglected Part of Our History," he recounts this history of violence faced by Mexicans. And with no political power or social standing in the new state, in the new nation, the Mexicans whom the border crossed over had no recourse or protection, as the wrecking ball of corrupt individuals and institutions of the new nation waged class warfare and race warfare with impunity. Suggests Luis Angel Toro of the University of Dayton, the Anglos who poured into Texas and the rest of the Southwest brought their apparatus of racial terror developed to hold the African-American people in bondage to the newly conquered territories. Mexicans became frequent victims of beatings and lynchings. Records indicate the disturbing statistic that between 1848 and 1870, 473 out of every 100,000 Mexicans in the Southwest United States died from lynchings. Let's just let that sink in. I want that to sink into folks' brains. I want them to think about that. And I want folks to, you know, I want to hear what folks have to say. You can leave us a message or call us and tell us what your thoughts are about other topics that you'd like to hear on KPPPLPFM at 701-566-0917, or you can tweet us at media_PPP. You can email us at Cindy@KPPPLPFM.com, or you can mail Duke@KPPPLPFM.com. We would like to go into a little musical break now. You'll hear a song near and dear to my heart, also from Hecho en México, Los Tucanes de Tijuana, singing Los Ilegales.
Pero no es malo ser ilegal. Somos
Los Tucanes de Tijuana singing Los Ilegales. You're listening to KPPPLPFM Radio. This is our first live on-air broadcast online, and we are very happy to be talking today about immigration and its history of racism. We want to make sure that folks can share their comments, questions, and topic ideas with us. We can hear from you on a message at 701-566-0917, or you can tweet us at @media_PPP. You can also email us at Cindy@kpppplpfm.com or Duke@kpppplpfm.com. Duke, where can people find our programs?
They can go to kpppfm.com and click on the podcast link, and you can hear all the recorded programs. We're actually broadcasting live right now, so you can go live and on the air on that tab on our website at kpppfm.com and click on live and on the air and actually hear us.
Fantastic. And we hope that you do and that you share our link and share our other podcasts. You can find all of our other podcasts on that page. And, you know, invite your friends. We want new programming for our radio show, because within the next couple of months, we expect to be going live on air on FM 88.1 on your airwaves. So tell your friends who are interested in doing programming. This is the new community radio station to do it at. And now back to our topic of today. This Donald Trump, he's been talking some smack about the Mexicans. Hasn't he?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, Donald Trump. We hear about him all the time, and he still sticks to what he said, which I think is that actually really terrible, because I'm married to a Mexican. I live with Mexicans. I think his spewing hatred that the rest of the country is hating right along with him.
Yeah, I mean, it makes us all feel unsafe, and there's a history of that. There's a history of hatred and killing, as we were just talking on the other side of the musical break, lynching, branding, burning, murdering of Mexicans on par with the killing of African Americans at the time. And here's some more information from this article, which we are referring to in our podcast link. You can find the article I wrote about the Border Patrol and their history, and how they function. They're a function of white supremacy. Why no Mexicans should enter the job. You can find these at mexi-can.org. That's mexi-can.org. Because we are Mexicans, not Mexicants. Right?
Right.
We can get it done. In 1884, Mexicans around Fort Davis, Texas, fled daily lynchings as Aria Angelos spurred on by the racist Texas Rangers, Los Pinches Rinches, voiced the opinion that the lynchings should continue until the Southwest was rid of Mexicans. And folks, again, I want you to know I've sourced all of the things I'm talking about in the article. You can find the link in the podcast. Go down the rabbit hole. Learn your history. Find out where these immigration policies come from, why they were created. And then let's have a debate. I want to hear how folks can support this after they know where this history comes from, why it was created, and what you're supporting. The Rangers executed Mexicans throughout Texas, assisting prospectors, gringo prospectors, so that they could take 90%+ of Mexican ranchers' land holdings in Texas. How is that any different than the theft of land from the indigenous people, the ancestors of many of these Mexicans before them? I don't see any difference. White people just like to steal them some land and kill the Indians that were living there. And this is no different.
And I think when you learn about the Texas Rangers, you're going to have a whole different concept when you hear about the Texas Rangers investigating black people being killed in jail in Texas. You'll have a totally different concept once you understand the history of the Texas Rangers.
Yeah, they're like, they kill us. That's what they did. They went out with prospectors that wanted to get land, and they took 90% of it, owned by the Mexicans, the Tejanos, the Californios. They looted and lynched the people, burned them, killed them, raped them, stole their stuff, shot everyone that was left, took all their stuff. I talked about this in a previous podcast, how Jose Murrieta, who's actually a Mexican, although that's where they got the character Zorro from, was a guy that basically became a vigilante after the gold rush, where gringos came into California and murdered his brother and raped his wife and murdered her. And then he just like, I'm going to go after these people. And that's how he was created as a vigilante. And he was very wanted by the Texas Rangers and others. And now he's a superhero. What does that tell you? But they don't tell you that the real Zorro wasn't a Spanish guy with the weird mask. He was a Mexican. He was a Mexican. And his name was Jose Murrieta. And they tried to say that they killed him. They chopped off his head and they had it in a jar. And they used to charge people like 10 cents to go and see the head of the Jose Murrieta who they killed. But then you know what he did? He wrote a letter to the newspapers in the United States and said, "That's not my head." And people claim in Mexico that he went home and nobody ever found him. But the Texas Rangers, they had to save face. They had to let people know they killed him. We'll never know the truth, but I know what I believe. Anyway, the Rangers executed lots of Mexicans. If you want to watch a documentary about this, you can find a movie trailer for a really good one on YouTube, and it's called Border Bandits. The Border Bandits, by the way, spoiler alert, it's the Texas Rangers.
Oh, I didn't know that. And that link is actually in the article that we're going to post on the page with this podcast.
That's right. It is. And all of the links that I'm talking about, all of the stuff I'm talking about is in this article. So you can go reference it, check it out. Give me your feedback. Tell me what you think. Did I cite things incorrectly? Do you disagree with this assessment of history? You can leave us a message at 701-566-0917 or at media_PPP on Twitter. You can email us at cindy@kppfm.com or duke@kppfm.com. Right now, if you just joined us, we are talking about immigration's racist policies and the history of that. I'm Cindy Gomez-Shemp.
And I'm Duke Gomez-Shemp.
And you're listening to KPPP-LPFM. Right now, we're broadcasting live for the first time through 365 Live, and you will soon find us on your radio dial at 88.1 FM. Back to our topic about immigration Ironically, folks, it was the hatred of Chinese people, not Mexicans, that brought on the passage of one of the most racist and reprehensible laws ever passed in American history, the Chinese Exclusionary Act, which codified America's white supremacy into law. This was the first law placing a quota on non-white immigrants in the history of America. Prior to the Civil War, the U.S. needed and welcomed Chinese and any other foreign workers it could get its hands on because it desperately needed cheap slave labor. After the Civil War, when free blacks entered the labor market, whites formed labor unions that would allow them to exclude blacks and other people of color, new immigrants, from the choicest and best paying jobs, the things that you had to become a tradesman for, you know? Those jobs coveted by whites were reserved for whites through the formation of unions and the exclusion of people of color. Later, it was this fight between organized unions and agricultural lobbyists that were fighting for the farmers that was the crucible of a society steeped in white supremacy, where this immigration policy, these immigration laws we have today, were birthed. President Lincoln, the man who signed the Chinese Exclusionary Act into law, by the way, folks, the great emancipator, the giant Lincoln statue savior guy, he also staged the largest mass lynching of Native Americans in U.S. history.
Right here in Minnesota.
Right here in Minnesota. Exactly. Most people don't know that. He also signed one of the most reprehensible, discriminatory, racist laws into law, the Chinese Exclusionary Act. He had argued, even before the Civil War, that freeing the blacks would not encroach upon white supremacy, promising frightened white voters that, quote, with deportation, even to a limited extent, enhanced wages to white labor is mathematically certain. Labor is like any other commodity in the market. Increase the demand for it, and you increase the price of it. Reduce the supply of black labor by colonizing the black laborer out of the country, and by precisely so much, you increase the demand for and the wages of white labor. The point of the Exclusion Act, the Chinese Exclusionary Act, was similar to that of labor unions in its function. Keep people of color out. Now, as a side note, when President Lincoln refers to colonizing the black laborer out of the country in that quote that I read earlier, he's referring to black people being deported out of the country, ex-slaves being deported to Liberia and other locations, which our government eventually did do. The country of Liberia, that was born from the deportation of free black people. Because if you have free black people in the country, we can't have that. We got to deport those people out of the country. The only good black is a slave black. The only good Indian is a dead Indian. These are the tenets, the things, the ideas, the mottos upon which this country was created. I mean, we have to deal with that. They may not be the ideals and the values that were espoused in the Constitution, but they were implicit because the Constitution was not written with us in mind. And we have to come to grips with that. This was not a president that was looking for the protection of people of color. So you see, this liberator of black slaves himself never really intended for the liberation of blacks to encroach on white supremacy, even if that meant that he would have to deport the free black people out of the country. immigration law, if it can be called that, since it, I believe it's a violation of the Constitution, and there's, I will talk about that more in depth in a little bit, is based on these exclusionary, read white supremacist, laws. Our country's history is littered with the consequences of enacting laws that violate the Constitution, like the forcible removal and internal deportation of Indians and their detention on reservations, the internment of Japanese in camps, and the deportations under the Operation Wetback program, which included, by the way, tens of thousands of Mexican-American citizens. You see why folks like me get nervous when they start having these SB 1070 paper please laws? Because we know the Texas Rangers all the way up till now, authorities never cared about whether or not we had legal documents. They're looking at the color of our skin, folks. We haven't been around the bend just the once. We didn't just fall off the turnip truck. Right? Ya no nos chupamos el dedo. We're grown up. We figured this stuff out. We know they're out to get us because they don't want us here. And what did this result in for our country? Are we proud of this history? The internment of Japanese in camps, the deportation of tens of thousands of American citizens? All of this happened because of the Chinese Exclusionary Act. And all of this resulted in violations of human rights, the theft of property, torture, and murder. And the constitutional guarantees under the Fourth and the Fifth Amendments are for all people within the United States, not just citizens. That's why I said that these immigration laws are a violation of human rights and the Constitution. Because the Constitution doesn't say you got to be a citizen. It just says you have to be a people. And it states that, quote, the right of the people to be secure in their persons, houses, papers, and effects against unreasonable searches and seizures shall not be violated, and no warrants shall issue, but upon probable cause, supported by oath or affirmation, and particularly describing the place to be searched and the persons or things to be seized, and that no one can be prosecuted without due process of the law. Now, to circumvent the law, immigration procedures and undocumented status are considered civil procedures, not criminal ones. So for all of you out there that are saying, they're illegal, they broke the law, no. By claiming that, in essence, being undocumented isn't a crime, and that is the foundation that comes down from the Supreme Court, and that the methods and procedures used by INS, ICE, whatever you want to call them, the deportations, the detentions, that they all fall under civil procedure. Border Patrol raids, detentions, and deportations can't be considered a form of punishment. And this allows the government to surveil, question, arrest, imprison, rape, kill, torture, and deport men, women, and children without due process and without warrants and without following the human rights that are dictated in the Constitution of this nation. It allows the cruel and unusual punishment of deportations, arrests, and imprisonment without due process of the law or any recourse, because under civil law, detainees don't get any rights or access to a lawyer. Yet, despite this loophole that conveniently decriminalizes undocumented cases for the benefit of authorities, the propaganda that Donald Trump's, the exploiters, the way it's used by individuals in INS, ICE, and Border Patrol, criminalizes the image of Mexicans, legal or illegal, which goes to show laws can be manipulated for good or for evil. And in upholding the Chinese Exclusionary Act, the Supreme Court put forth dogma as law, upholding the exclusion because of their inherent power of sovereignty as a nation state. I mean, in his dissenting opinion, Justice Brewer countered that the other justices' ideology with this logic, deportation is punishment. Everyone knows that to be forcibly taken from your home, your friends, and business and property and sent across the ocean to a distant land is punishment, and that oftentimes most severe and cruel. That's what that Justice Brewer said. That being the case, immigrants should enjoy all of the guarantees under the Constitution under its 4th, 5th, 6th, and 8th Amendments. This is what the justice said. Therefore, the U.S. Border Patrol, as a function of white supremacy in America, cannot function without the President, the Congress, and the Supreme Court, all ignoring the supreme law, the Constitution. The state governments also have to be given wide berth to create anti-immigrant policies that profile people of color in general and violate the rights of all people in America, except, of course, for the most part, white people. What do you think about what I'm saying, Duke?
Well, excuse me, that's very, very amazing. Also, it reminds me that I have not spent a lot of time reading the Constitution and really applying the history of the Constitution to to our lives and the history of people of color in this country. And I think that the information you put forward in this article and the things you're talking about are all part of the history lesson we need to teach. We need to take as white people to really get in touch with what exists today. And those arguments need to go back all those years. There's a lot of people that say, well, that was a long time ago. Well, it was a long time ago to actually form the foundation of what we have today.
Yes, it's true. And tell folks where they can find these this podcast after our live broadcast tonight or others that we have done in the past.
Well, you can go to kpppfm.com. And we have a link or a tab on there you can click on that says podcast, and all of our tape programming is going there. If you go to the live and listen now link, you can actually listen to us live when we're live. We announced that we're going live a little ahead of time. Today's our first time. It's our first live broadcast, and we're going to do plenty more.
That's right. And today's topic is on immigration. I'm taking this, a lot of this information from an article that I previously wrote as about Border Patrol as a function of white supremacy and why no Mexicans should join Border Patrol. And for the reasons listed here in this article and many others similar to them, I would not recommend that people of color participate in policing because of the history of where these things come from and how they are affecting people of color. Now, some of you may disagree with what I'm saying. Some of you may think that what I'm saying is crazy stuff. I want to hear what you think. I want to hear your comments, your questions. We will read them on the air. We will play them on the air. You can leave us a message at 701-566-0917, or you can tweet us at @media_PPP. You can also email us at cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com. And I'm going to go right back into talking about how the immigration authorities function in this country. The discretion and the authority that is handed down to immigration, ICE, INS, allows them to detain, question, and search any person that is, quote, believed to be an alien as to his right to be in the United States. That's really loose language there. When conducting searches or raids for undocumented individuals, agents of the Border Patrol claim the right to question, quote, anyone who looks like an alien. What do you suppose that means?
I think it means that you're brown or black.
Right. To agents, this means anyone who looks Mexican, speaks Spanish, or English with a Spanish accent. My mother still has an accent. My father still has an accent. Both of them are citizens of this country. They still have accents. Or, by the way, these are all part of the list of things that Border Patrol have claimed the right to question people for. Or wears Mexican-looking clothing. So if we are, or if we're dressed the way that we culturally normally dress, we're going to be targeted by the Gestapo of America to be stopped and paper, please. Where's your identification? I mean, it sounds like we're in like Nazi Germany or something. Where's your papers? Or anyone, by the way, here's another one. Anyone who, quote unquote, looks nervous. But it is very difficult for any person of Mexican descent to avoid looking Mexican, or for that matter, to avoid looking nervous when confronted with the historical agents for terrorizing Mexicans. Whatever their present incarnations may be, whether they are police, military, INS, ICE agents, Minutemen, or the Ku Klux Klan. And if it seems odd to hear me include the Ku Klux Klan or the Minutemen in this group that I just read off, that's only because the connection, their connections to each other in your minds as listeners and to in history are largely hidden from the public. Consider these facts about the history of these groups and the history of INS and the Border Patrol. INS, to begin with, they enacted Operation Wetback. Note the use of the racial slur in their campaign, which was sanctioned by the U.S. government and which forcibly removed over a quarter of a million people, thousands, tens of thousands of whom were American citizens of Mexican descent. And the INS and Border Patrol later enacted a policy referring to all their Mexican detainees as wetbacks, a racial slur as official policy. Here's something else. Past INS director, like the infamous General Leonard Chapman, have deliberately created anti-immigrant hysteria. I mean, this guy could have been one of Donald Trump's or David Duke's ancestors, for Pete's sake. They do it through propaganda and through lies. His lies were echoed and then spurred on by similar fear-mongering propaganda being circulated by the workers' unions, the AFL-CIO, and other exclusionary groups. And what was their goal? To portray Mexicans as disease-ridden vermin who are criminal, steal jobs, and drain the resources of America. Sound like Trump?
Yep, definitely.
This tactic, despite overwhelming evidence showing the contrary was true, the opposite was true, has permanently stained the image of Mexican Americans even today. Brutality and racism have been a hallmark of the Border Patrolman in history and today. They have historically threatened, beaten, raped, and murdered suspected aliens. Furthermore, it has been the policy of the Border Patrol to bring their victims up on false charges of assault, even in the face of overwhelming evidence that the contrary happened, simply to protect agents from personal lawsuits for human rights violations. Does this sound familiar to what is happening with police in this country?
Oh, it fits exactly. Fits exactly.
The same pattern.
Mm-hmm.
The cops beat up someone, taser them, and then claim they were the ones assaulted. Isn't that rich?
Yeah.
You can see, it says right here, they do it to protect their officers. This is because most victims of agents are deported before they can sue in court or appeal their cases for assault. In his statement to the El Paso Times, Sector Chief for the El Paso Border Patrol, Dale Schwancutt, told that newspaper that it was standard procedure to charge undocumented immigrants with assault when they were injured by an agent, saying, quote, "Once it's established that the officer was assaulted, it affords the officer protection from being sued. Most federal agencies will do that. Otherwise, the agent would be naked." End quote. That's what he said. Most federal agencies will do that, he said. Since 1970, the courts have ruled that Border Patrol agents have no right to question U.S. citizens about their citizenship or to force them to provide documents proving such. What that means is that in continuing to perform their jobs as they perform them today and have performed them since the inception of the Border Patrol, they are violating the civil rights of citizens and making themselves subject to lawsuits for false imprisonment every time an agent questions and detains a citizen. The only reasons the courts are not flooded with these kinds of cases is the poverty and the ignorance of those victims and their fear of retaliation and the distance that they face after being deported in many cases. Yes, American citizens have been deported. Do you remember that one case where there was a Native American man that was deported from Minnesota?
Actually, it was North Dakota.
Oh, was it?
I think he was from the Spirit Lake. He was deported and sent to Mexico. And the tribe actually had to get involved and get him back. And it's happened in Moorhead. There's been citizens detained and sent to INS, to ICE. And, you know, since the 70s, the courts have ruled that Border Patrol agents have no right to question U.S. citizens. The police don't have a right to question anybody about their citizenship because it's not their job as law enforcement to be doing the work of ICE. There's been a lot of laws that have been went out there to change that. And some states have taken that. And part of it is that, as you spoke about earlier in the article and earlier in this podcast, in this show, that it's really... it's not a right of the law enforcement to really ask you whether you're a citizen or not.
Yeah, I know, but people are confused about this. But it shouldn't be confusing, okay? When people get all like, but it's if our federal government isn't doing its job, then we should do the job in our states and we'll pass laws and we'll just like Joe Arpaio it, you know? No, this is the confusion that's happening. The federal government has a policy. Let's put it into terms most white people can understand. Pot, weed, marijuana. So the federal government has a policy that marijuana is illegal. You know, occasionally, like President Obama has recently done, they'll say things like, we're not going to go after people. You know, we're not going to try to tear people's grow houses down or whatever. In states that have made medical marijuana legal, like California and other states that have decriminalized it and made even recreational use legal, like in Colorado. But let's not forget, folks, the federal government's law still says that it is illegal. If they wanted to, and they could at any time, the next administration could do it. They could go shut down Colorado and put a whole bunch of people in prison and turn that into sad state, you know, turn it into a very sad state full of not high people. So it doesn't matter that a federal policy exists or even a state law. It matters what's being enforced. It matters what you can enforce, and it matters what the purpose is for. The fact of the matter is, we don't have 12 million or 11 million undocumented Mexicans or Latin Americans or undocumented people in this country. We have many millions more than that. I am sure of it. Just like we don't just have 50 million documented legal citizens that are Latino. We have many more than that in this country. We are now a majority in this country. And white people have tried very hard to stop that from happening through genocide, rape, land theft, and basically trying to decimate us because, as I said, on the other side of our podcast, we are indigenous people. We are First Nations people that come from this continent, that come from this land that has been taken by the colonizers. And we have been exterminated ever since. We have been under the constant threat of genocide ever since. I know these sound like crazy things to say, but when you know your history, they're not. They're just real. Here's some more information you need to know about your own history, folks. In 1977, the leader of the KKK, Grand Dragon David Duke, famously declared the KKK would be assisting Border Patrol, just like Donald Trump just went down to the border. Was it in Texas or Arizona?
It was Texas.
Was it?
Well,
I thought.
Well, maybe it was Arizona. I'm sorry.
He might have gone to Arizona too then. I don't know. He went down to the border though. And he was going to do a joint thing with the Border Patrol. Remember that whole story?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And the national offices of Border Patrol basically told the local office to back off and don't do the rally with him.
But originally, Donald Trump got to announce he was doing the rally with them, which was to indicate that he and the government are working together, right?
Yes, exactly.
And then there was this, like, oh, and that story where it later turned out that the Border Patrol didn't show up for the event and that they were supposed to distance themselves from Donald Trump. That was a pretty obscure story.
Yeah
that it was. We found it somewhere. Most people haven't heard about that. Most people didn't hear about that, will never hear about that, because it's not going to be in the mainstream. And you know why? It was never meant to be. They wanted you to think exactly, the government, I mean, wanted you to think exactly what Donald Trump said. They're working together. That's what they wanted the message to be. Because if they didn't, if Barack Obama did not want to be associated with his Homeland Security Department, did not want to be the Border Patrol, did not want to be associated with Donald Trump, they would make that announcement very loud and very clear. The same way that senator who got put on blast by Donald Trump came out. What was that guy's name? That South Carolinian dude, I think. He's Lindsey Graham. Is he from South Carolina?
I think so.
Yeah, Lindsey Graham, and he like put his phone in a blender because Donald Trump put his phone number out there in the media.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And he did this. There, believe me. And Lindsey Graham is kind of like laid back, right?
Yeah.
Barack will mess you up. He right now, he doesn't even care what's going to happen anymore. He could make it very plain. He wants nothing to do in any way with Donald Trump. But that wasn't a story you heard because they didn't want it to be heard. Let me give you the parallel back in history so you can see. None of this stuff is new. The same stuff. It gets repeated over and over again. White people don't remember it. Mexicans, we remember this stuff. We hear about it passed down from generation to generation. We know exactly what this government has done to our people. So I was talking about 77, the Grand Dragon of the KKK, David Duke, declared he would be assisting the Border Patrol and the federal government by carrying out armed patrols of the border and detaining undocumented people. And Duke was in lockstep with the racist rhetoric of the head of INS at the time, General Chapman. The messages were being echoed the same things. They helped him fan the flames of racial hatred against Mexicans with his collaboration. And although the U.S. ambassador to Mexico, Patrick J. Lucy, made public statements to Mexico City's leading newspaper, Excelsior, that the U.S. government would not tolerate the KKK's intimidation of Mexicans. Meanwhile, back in the good old USA, one, David Duke held a private meeting with INS District Director James O'Keefe and Alan Clayton, a local office head. Two, held demonstrations against the KKK's actions in San Diego, were met with brutal police repressions and arrests of Chicanos. And number three, a U.S. District Court judge denied the request for an injunction to stop the KKK from performing its patrols. Even after a cross burning and the defacement of a black city council member's home were reported. Is this echoing of black churches burning in 2015?
Yep, exactly.
of judges turning a blind eye and looking the other way, prosecutors, grand juries, as people are demanding justice for yet another black or brown murdered unarmed person in this country. It's the same stuff happening over and over again. And number four, signs and leaflets they were distributing along the border towns that read, "To illegal aliens and officials of the U.S. government, this border is subject to random patrols by the Ku Klux Klan." All of which left Mexicans with the clear feeling that if not implicitly working together, the U.S. government was in league with the views of the KKK, and they were secretly pleased by the actions of the KKK. And guys, when we look at the GOP and Donald Trump, we're thinking the same thing.
Yep.
These people are working together. These folks, they got each other's backs. They believe the same things. They believe the same thing as the T-Publicans and the Minutemen's.
Mm-hmm.
The Minutemen and other vigilante groups have been linked to and or had members who have participated in human rights violations on Mexican immigrants, thefts, and murders. The record of their racist rhetoric and criminal vigilante behavior is easy to find. All you need to do is Google Minutemen hate crimes, and you will see what I mean. And we will have links to recent examples of some of those atrocities committed by Minutemen, where it documents how they illegally detained undocumented people. Who knows what they did to these people?
Yeah.
That they organized and they protested out outside of Newsday Today, calling for less coverage of hate crimes in Suffolk County. The Minutemen militia and their organization and their supporters.
Wow.
They wanted less coverage of hate crimes in their newspapers. And other stories where the Minutemen vigilantes, which are, they're terrorists. They're like Dylan Roof.
Mm-hmm.
They're like this guy in, it was in Louisiana, that went to the theater and shot up a bunch of people.
Yeah, yeah. Very much, very, very similar. These links are all in the article that you're reading from, and they'll be in at the bottom of our podcast. It'll be on kpppfm.com. Click on the podcast link.
Yes. Or this, you know, Minutemen vigilante who was armed to the teeth and arrested for attacking Mexicans at a labor rally. Or how about U.S. Sean Fode, who has ties to the Tea Party? She maintained a blog for them, was a member of the Minutemen Civil Defense Corps, and a spokesperson and representative of the Federation for American Immigration Reform. FAIR, they call themselves short.
Mm-hmm.
It's an anti-immigrant think tank and lobbying group, which was... Sean Fode was convicted and sentenced to death row for the double murders of 9-year-old Briseña Flores and her father during a botched theft attempt. Sean Fode and a group of her vigilante friends had been robbing Mexicans that they thought were illegal because they were more certain that their crimes wouldn't be reported to anyone. Some sick things.
Definitely.
Today, the recruitment of by police, military, and the Border Patrol of Mexicans is growing. And the ways in which law enforcement has abused the trust and rights of Mexicans is alarming. The rate of deportation is higher than any time in the history of this country, and most of the people affected are Mexicans. It is estimated that over 4 million of those being detained or deported have one or more American citizen relatives. Children, wives, parents, sisters, brothers, grandmothers, living and working in the United States. We are violating the rights of American citizen children who have a basic human right to be raised by both of their birth parents. these same conservative people that don't want babies chopped apart and sold in Planned Parenthood, that don't want people to have abortions, that don't want women to have contraception so all the babies in the world can be happy and be born. Where's your concern for these American citizen babies? Is it that the color isn't right? They're not being raised by both of their parents. They deserve both of their parents. Just because their name, last name is Gonzalez or Gomez doesn't mean they don't have a right to have their parents. That's racist. And it seems no different than the tactics that were used in the past to remove indigenous people, indigenous children, and take them from their parents and give them into foster care or boarding schools or white families to be assimilated. The abuses of Border Patrol continue to mount and have been increasingly documented by news agencies and human rights organizations. A story from May 5th of 2014 in the Idaho Statesman reported on the rising complaints and lawsuits against Border Patrol, citing that critics say the lawsuits, all three filed by U.S. citizens, are part of a pattern that's become endemic to the nation's efforts to secure its southern border. They come in addition to complaints that U.S. Border Patrol agents have used deadly force when their lives were not at risk. How is this different from what we're seeing by police?
It's not different at all.
Agents have killed 21 people since the beginning of 2010, most of them unarmed immigrants. Violent confrontations are only part of the picture. U.S. citizens who live along the border say that the U.S. Border Patrol agents have become a virtual interior police force, disrespecting private property, looking for pretexts to search vehicles and detain residents for hours at checkpoints. Are we in Nazi Germany?
Sure feels like it.
Where do we live? What year is this? In the last 3 years, the Border Patrol has caused me more damage than the illegals, said John Ladd, whose family has operated a ranch in southeast Arizona for the past 118 years. They've abused private property rights immensely, he added. Fueling the problems, critics say, has been the agency's rapid expansion, which has led to poor hiring and training and an institutional unwillingness to acknowledge agents' mistakes. That sounds familiar. That encourages the frequent use of physical violence. One lawyer who deals with the agency accuses them of nurturing, quote, an overly aggressive bullying culture. Folks, you can see pictures of all of the things that I am talking about, including David Duke in his Ku Klux Klan Border Patrol monitoring vehicle, Lieutenant Chapman, the racist head of the INS back in the 70s that started all of the Trump stereotypes that you hear about what Mexicans are. You can where can folks find this stuff, Duke?
Well, you can go to fmppp.com, excuse me, kpppfm.com, and click on the podcast link, and today's podcast will be on there, and there'll be a link to the article that has all these links on it.
Yes, and this is Cindy and Duke Gomez-Shemp. You're listening to KPPP-LPFM broadcasting live for the first time tonight, online through 365 Live. And soon you'll be able to find us on your radio dial at FM 88.1, adding local color to your airwaves. We want to hear what you have to say. Send us your messages, your ideas of new topics, and comments and questions. You can leave us a message at 701-566-0917 or tweet us at media_PPP. You can email us at cindy@kpppfm.com or duke@kpppfm.com. I want to make folks think about where we are today, because today, more than at any time in our history, the policies that are meant to eradicate Mexicans are funneling thousands of desperate people every day into the hottest and most dangerous parts of the desert on purpose. We did this through law to cross the Mexican-American border, which is leading to hundreds, if not thousands, of deaths every year. There are mass graves along our border that are, they're full of bodies and bones. Families continue to be shattered as hardworking undocumented Mexicans are rounded up and separated from their wives and children, never to be reunited. Thousands of dreamers, many of whom do not speak Spanish or know anything about Mexico, who have spent their entire lives growing up in America, are being deported. And much like police, military, and other authorities, the Border Patrol is an institution that investigates complaints of abuse from within. And they usually exonerate their officers. They do not have to notify the public of their actions, and they can act with impunity. Is this not the same as the police, Duke?
Definitely exactly what's going on right now with the police not having to report that they're even killing people. I mean, yesterday's podcast, we talked about the number of deaths that aren't even required to be reported to the federal government by police departments. It's the same mold, the same model. This is stuff been going on forever here, and we've lost contact with our own history and the things that make things the way they are today are a racist past.
And that's what the topic is today, the racist history of immigration policy. And history, there's a history of these police, Border Patrol, the history of the theft, the threats, the rape, the torture, the murder that plague these institutions of authority in American history, and Border Patrol, in policing, in the military, in the agencies like the Texas Rangers and the FBI. Today, the stories of murders are even videotaped. Abuses by Border Patrol agents make their way around the internet and the news, and still, there's no change in the accountability of Border Patrol agents. Any more that there was any change after we watched Eric Garner get choked to death on video, mm-hmm. or so many of the other deaths that we've seen recently. There seems to be no end in sight, especially with the expansion of privatized prisons across the country, to the number of detentions and deportations, or to the rise in racist U.S. immigration policies and state laws. Time has not been able to eradicate the white supremacist agenda from American immigration history. And today, the Border Patrol remains a powerful arm of the white racist agenda in this country. These violations of human rights, masquerading as law and order, are reprehensible, inhumane, and downright disgusting. That is what makes these jobs so dangerous, not just to Mexicans and their minds and their psyches, but also to our bodies. These jobs and what they stand for are a threat and a danger to all Mexican people and all people of color, be they undocumented or not, because they promote a culture of exclusion, hatred, and death. And that is why Mexicans should not participate. I want to hear what you guys have to say. Send us your messages, your comments, your quotes. I will do a separate show on Mr. Trump. I think that he definitely doesn't deserve an entire show, but his hypocrisy and how he fits in to the long legacy of racists like David Duke. And that's basically what this man is. We're going to get into that in another show. I want to hear what you guys have to say. So send us your comments and messages and tweets. Remember that you can find our podcasts from previous shows at kpppfm.com. This is KPPPLPFM. You're listening to Pastures of Plenty by Lila Downs, Melody Song. Thank you for listening. See you next time. Adiós.
Adiós.
Out of your dust bowl and westward we rode. Your deserts was hot and your mountains was cold. I worked on your orchards of peaches and prunes. Slept on the ground by the light of your moon. At the edge of your cities, you will see us. And then we come with the dust and we're gone with the wind. California, Arizona, I made all your crops. But it's north up to Oregon to harvest your hops. Dig the beads from the ground, pick the grapes from your vines to set on your table, your light sparkling white. When did you come to America the free? Who are your ancestors? What is your creed? Father and the son and the weed. Where is the spirit that sought liberty? When did you come to America? Long, long before, when the buffalo walked. When did your hands burn like gold? The thing that made this land your pride and your joy. Your crops, came to build your roads, your cities and your thoughts. You say you don't need me, but you know what you.
I will work till I die, and this land I'll defend with my life. It need be for my pastures of plenty must always.